click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
As you know, it's results season, and this typically means that we speak to the leaders of JSE-listed entities to give us some context, understanding, and perspective on the results that they've published. And today, we do take a look at the four-year results to the end of June of Growthpoint, the largest property REIT listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, giving us some insight into not only the increase in their distribution, but sterling performance that they continue to see from their flagship V&A Waterfront and some strategic shifts that they're implementing within the South African environment. Side note, they also happen to be our landlords here at Kaya House in Rosebank. So I'm speaking to someone who might switch off the lights later on this evening. But I say that in jest and as a joke. Estienne de Klerk, he's the CEO of Growthpoint South Africa. Such a pleasure to speak to you again, Estienne.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Excited to speak to you. I must tell you, I'm one of those, whenever I walk into a shopping mall or an office park, I'm very keen to see, you know, who actually owns the property, and it adds some perspective into your numbers. From a South African point of view, you have a widespread of assets, not only in industrial, commercial, but also when it comes to retail property. And fundamentally, these have contributed strongly to your earnings. Let's start off on the South African base, and then from there we'll reflect on the numbers internationally too.
Yes, so we've been fortunate that for the first time in many years, all three the sectors being retail, as you correctly pointed out, the retail shopping centers performed well, and that like-for-like earnings there grew at about 5.3%. Our industrial portfolio, which is logistics and industrial, grew at 5.5%. And then the big surprise was office. And, you know, we provide space to thrive for many corporates. And over the past few years, you know, with the Gauteng economy being under the pump a little bit, the office market's been pretty tough. It's also been oversupplied in the Gauteng area, but we managed to get that like-for-like growth at 6.8%. So that was a big driver to the 3.1% distribution per share growth that that we have announced, and I think, you know, together with a sterling set of results from the V&A once again, you know, that sort of underpins, together with the benefit from reducing interest rates, you know, what we have seen in Growthpoint's results this period. Because, I mean, when we entered the year, we actually guided to go backwards, yeah, -2 to -5. So on the pillars, it's nearly, you know, it's an 8% swing. It's massive.
Significant. And as you say, it's a wonderful thing when the environment does turn around to actually work within your favor. To keep with your office as well as industrial portfolios, these again have shown a significant growth. Maybe let's start off with office. We've come a long way since the pandemic, Estienne, where vacancies were fairly high. The hybrid working model was very popular. I'm keen to understand, as we see more South African businesses and entities want to have their staff on board full time, how is that translated into the needs and the services that you offer them, but also a reduction in vacancies in your numbers?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the different regions have sort of different dynamics, to be honest. So we've got a portfolio in Durban, which is about 89,000 square meters. It is full. And the dynamic there is that, you know, actually, if you're a tenant looking for space now, it's pretty difficult if you want to be on the Mhlanga Ridge. And rentals are firming there. So what we have seen is those corporates have, you know, clearly been expanding. And I think in this market, what has happened over time is that, you know, tenants that were in, let's call it, poorer quality property, mm-hmm, have used the opportunity to rent up into better quality property. And if we move that dynamic through to Cape Town, you know, Cape Town's growth has been strong. It's well reported. Also, a lot of office space taken out of the market in Cape Town for residential redevelopment. Yes. So the reality is that we're starting to see, you know, the same dynamic playing out in Cape Town, and in the V&A as example, you know, rental levels are now deep over 300 rand a square meter, and there's no vacancy. So that market's also firm. And then if we come back here to Gauteng now, unfortunately Gauteng has suffered probably more than most under the, let's call it, weaker economy more than anything else. And Sandton has been sort of in the eye of the storm in that many of the financial services companies companies as well as the let's call it knowledge-based businesses sit in Sandton, and these companies have maybe had a little bit more flexibility in terms of working from home, etc. And many of the larger corporates, you know, being exposed to the South African macro, haven't really grown or grown headcount, and that reflects in this market. And we also, through the, let's call it, super cycle in 2010 to maybe 16, we developed quite a lot of real estate here in Sandton, and there was oversupply. So a little bit self-created in that sense too. But yeah, we've brought vacancies down materially from the peak of over 22% to now today, you know, below 15%. So very nice growth there. I think the biggest mover really was the work that our team has done on recoveries and on bringing down costs in that portfolio. And that was the big swing, really, to be honest.
That is quite significant because, as you say, we do witness those changes, even with us being here in the heart of Rosebank, when it comes to exposure to P-grade and A-grade property. Typically, when it comes to property, location, location, location are always the key words we hear, SDN. And the Western Cape appears to be a province that you're very bullish on in terms of increased capital allocation and also witnessing significant growth. Help us contextualize that, perhaps reflecting on the V&A waterfront, but also helping us understand what are the fundamentals that are leading drivers to see you find opportunity in that market?
Yeah, I mean, to quantify it, if you take the V&A and you overlay that with our Western Cape portfolio, which is a quarter of the South African portfolio, you've probably got about half our South African exposure is in the Western Cape today. Sure. Not too many analysts have actually spotted that, but that is the reality. And you know, we have benefited from that, in that ultimately we, as a provider of services, of space to thrive, we're following our clients. Where do they want to be? Where's their need? And, you know, clearly, the Gauteng market still remains the largest. I mean, the Sandton precinct on its own is close to 2 million square meters, you know, so the whole Western Cape isn't that size. So the reality is everything has to be sort of contextualized in the size it is. So it's important for us, you know, bringing it back to Gauteng, that we want the Johannesburg and Pretoria markets to work, and a lot of efforts going into, you know, lobbying for the municipalities and the metros here to perform better than they are. So behind the scenes, there is initiatives to do so. And yes, I mean, if you look across the three different sectors, you know, they have what I would say generally now stabilized, and we expecting positive growth. In saying that, looking at the GDP numbers today, you know, the real estate sector does lag a little bit, and if that's where we're lagging to, I am a little concerned. But the tailwind that we are banking on is reducing interest rates, and that will help us globally. So, you know, even our Australian business and our Eastern European business was quite negatively impacted by increasing interest rates, even more so than in South Africa. So those have, you know, their income has come backwards a little bit. But yeah, I mean, the reality is that the perspective and the vision going forward is to continue to grow the business. And if we look at our distributions, you know, we're expecting to grow between 3% and 5% in terms of our distributable earnings next year. And, you know, with this confidence and our stronger balance sheet, we've also lifted the payout ratio to 87.5%. So for this year, it averages out at 85%. But from next year, we'll have a payout ratio at 87.5%, which, you know, would see distributions, so the actual dividend going to our shareholders, grow at between 6 and 8%.
Got you. Estin, I want to take advantage of the fact that you have recently been appointed as the incoming CEO, Group CEO for Growthpoint, and a beautiful and natural transition given your institutional knowledge to take over at a group level following Norbert Sasser, who will continue on in a non-executive role, if I'm not mistaken. But you're touching on an important point here regarding municipalities and the importance of service delivery. I highlight this because by the time you're Group CEO next year, this is when we'll also see municipal elections taking place in South Africa. And the strategic capital allocation you're making to the Western Cape is a huge lesson for many other municipalities and metros to actually learn. As we, I guess, plan and you head into your strategy for further capital allocation in key markets you'd like to grow in, without, I guess, lobbying is part of it. But what are the key outcomes that you actually hope to see municipalities prioritize to ensure that businesses like yours can invest in their markets?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, obviously all the businesses in South Africa and ratepayers pay rates and taxes towards these municipalities and metros for a purpose. They're looking for specific services, and it's not all that complicated. Mm. We want roads that work. We want safe neighborhoods. We want to have our traffic lights work so that the traffic can flow in and out of CBDs. And we would like water and lights. So we're not asking for a huge amount. And then on the development side, you need efficient processes so that, you know, as the capital becomes cheaper and we can trigger developments, that we actually can do so to grow our cities and provide space for what will be a growing economy. So I think from the real estate sector's perspective, you know, I think we are talking to the likes of, you know, Business Leadership South Africa, B4SA, and to the metros themselves to see, you know, potentially, you know, there might be an initiative where we can bring some support from business for the metros. And, you know, similar to what's happened at Eskom, Transnet, and on crime and corruption, you know, there might be a separate initiative that can coordinate many of the good that many organizations are trying to, you know, initiate in cities like Johannesburg, mm-hmm. to try and coordinate it, fund it better, and really bring these cities back to where they should be, because mm-hmm. the deterioration is a cost for all of us, and you know, we need safe and functioning cities to grow.
100%. Glad that you highlight that, because it is something that we do need to be mindful of in terms of future planning. To shift now to the global portfolio, if we can, perhaps let's touch very briefly on Australia, Poland, as well as Romania, where you do have assets. And I guess a quick overview of some of the dynamics we see within those markets, especially on the back of the macroeconomic fundamentals. Any particular highlights for you?
Yeah, no. So look, I think the reality is you know, we've built really nice businesses in those markets. So just for clarity, we've got a business which we own 63% of in Australia called Growthpoint Properties Australia. This business owns close to just short of 50 billion rands worth of property, industrial and office properties in the large major cities in Australia. And, you know, Australia has been one of the strongest economies on the planet for the past 15 years. It being strategically located just below China and India, it does benefit from those the sort of Asia-Oceanic relationships. And they've got a strong commodities-based economy. So, you know, it's been a great place to invest. And in fact, metropolitan office and industrial has been the sweet spot. Recently, with interest rates going up quite aggressively, the company's earnings has been impacted negatively. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're in it for the long haul, and we continue to focus on growing that business. And we're actually focusing a little bit on using other people's money to grow the business. So a fund management business, similar to what we have here in Growthpoint Properties, Growthpoint Investment Partners. So we are looking to grow that business that way. And then in Eastern Europe, you know, their interest rates literally doubled on our bonds there. Yeah. And that has, you know, caused a deterioration in the earnings. In saying that, on balance sheet, the company is in probably the strongest position it's been since COVID. And, you know, if we just continue to do the right things there, and we're working with our partner shareholders there, I believe that, you know, those will be great investments for the future. As you're well aware, we have exited the UK. That hasn't been our most pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. It shows you what poor policy can do to a country as well.
Right.
It's even worse than potentially some of the stuff that's happened in South Africa, to be honest. And yeah, the market there, we just believe we could not grow that company to scale, and we decided to exit that market.
Yeah. I guess it's safe to say you're not going to France. I'm teasing.
At this stage, I think sure. The French are safe from us.
Got you on that, Estienne. Estienne, before I let you go, I guess just a quick refresher on the revenue split, South Africa versus non-SA assets. What does that look like right now? And are there any plans to shift that and change that going forward?
Yeah, so we got just short of 30%, about 28.7% of our income is now offshore. That has reduced because obviously we've sold Capital & Regional out of the UK. But the, you know, our ambition is still to grow that over time. But given the, let's call it, capital constraints in the market we have at the moment and the cost of capital, you know, it's going to be a process that will be maybe slowed down somewhat. And we've, in a way, opportunistic. We'll carefully look for opportunities that make financial sense. And yeah, we still have ambitions to, in those two markets, to grow those businesses still substantially over time. And, you know, diversify our income streams, whether it's in different areas or through different sectors. You know, the ultimately, we're trying to provide our investors with the highest return for the lowest risk possible.
Got you. Before I let you go, Estienne, we're about, what, 10 months away before you take over as Group CEO of Growthpoint, a smooth transition that the market has understood and has gladly accepted in terms of the continuation of the institutional knowledge. As we prepare for this handover and, I guess, this transition, what can we expect from the group going forward from a strategic point of view?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's an absolute privilege to be able to get the opportunity to run a company like Growthpoint. You know, the kind of business we're in, we really have an impact on people's lives through our shopping centers, through our offices, through the built environment and the space that we create where they can thrive. So, you know, from my perspective, I certainly believe that Growthpoint can have a really positive impact, not just on for our shareholders and other stakeholders, but also for our country. And you know, being a big South African patriot, I do believe that over time, Growthpoint will make our country proud.
100%. Next time you're in Rosebank and you drive past Jan Smuts Avenue before you get to 160, just make sure that as you drive past 195 Kaya House, know that it's us. But thanks for keeping the lights on.
We're very proud of your property. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Estienne. Such a phenomenal conversation with you, and all the best going forward.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
Indeed. Estienne de Klerk is the CEO, South African CEO of Growthpoint Properties. As you've heard, he will officially take over as Group CEO from the 1st of July 2026 from his colleague Norbert Sasser. But interesting dynamics when it comes to the South African property market. And I think next time you walk into Lalusha Mall in Durban, Alberton City here in Johannesburg, even Four Ways Crossing, those are some of the assets under the retail arm of Growthpoint South Africa. Woodmead Retail Park, also one of them. And if you're in and around Illovo and the Rosebank area, there's a number of properties that are owned by Growthpoint Properties. I've just touched on office and retail. I haven't even mentioned the industrial properties, but a significant player and a juggernaut when it comes to the property environment in South Africa and, as we've heard, abroad.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.